The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. The guys were giving grades to the Falcons wide receivers and the Falcons quarterbacks for this season. So you can do the same thing. Give us a shout out, 404-726-0929. Or maybe you have thoughts on who won which one Wednesday.
Yeah. There's no thoughts.
It's me.
Our buddy Ed was like, you know, there's only one reason that he continues to pick Bo, and it's no, he knows, you know, the management status thing going on in here. So that's fine.
Mike. That's really
You sounded really hurt.
Because it's clear that, Mike, there was a couple of times you just straight up pretty much agree with Bo. Your first one, you said you pretty much knew you were going to get dinged by me. And then, you know, I'm going
to
be honest.
Because I didn't pick the Falcons to win the South.
Yes, I'm going to agree.
I went about my MVP
that.
Argument from a completely different angle just so you couldn't say this right now.
But still, though, it came back to it being Josh Allen. I respect that you coming out with a different angle, but
who goes first?
It doesn't come down to who goes. No, it doesn't come down to that at all. I liked your argument, but it's just Bo's the winner.
I'm not a sore loser. It is what it is. Maybe I'll bounce back next time and try to play better.
Yeah.
You know, you got to look in the mirror sometimes.
Got to take accountability, like Raheem Morris.
You've had a problem.
I guess I'll just talk louder like Bo does. Anyways,
he took a shot at you.
You know, let him take shots. He's a loser.
He said that on the way out. I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to push this thing past the break time. I'm not even going to go in on this man.
You're right. You had a right to say that.
I mean, we only started the show by helping Self Pray and be a national champion.
Yeah. Oh, you don't get rings for being Which One Wednesday champ, although we should probably bring something back in terms of winning that.
I'd have a lot of them.
Anything. I never got any.
Oh.
You never got anything. You're supposed to get Mio.
I got Mio six weeks after the fact. But I did get it.
No. I was positive I did.
No.
Anyways.
Tragic.
Yeah, tragic.
Sounds so upset about it.
Yeah. Yesterday, when I was on my way home picking my kids up from daycare, my son got sick in my car. And I guess maybe the wake-up call needs to be for me, because I have no idea what to do with my truck at this point. Like, I got home. I was on daddy duty. My kids are inside. I'm, like, trying to clean as best I could. And I text Bo, and I was like, it's just straight up like I'm going to have to trade it in. Like, there's no way. There's no two ways about this. When you have a mess in your truck like that, I was like, I got to trade it in, or I'm going to feel really bad, and I'm going to probably end up taking some guy to, like, get the deep, deep detail, like, you know, the $400 or $500 detail job where they're taking off, like, side panels and stuff, because – there was nothing that could have been done with that. So I don't know where to go from there. But, man, if you're out there and you've ever had a sick kid in your car, I sent Bo a picture of it, and I go, hey, just prepping you for fatherhood, because this is what's on the way, buddy.
Disgusting.
This is not good. I think it's just I don't know where to go from there, man. It's just, I guess I need the wake-up call. I don't know what to do, but it is what it is.
All right. Lines are – what were you going to say?
No, I'm good. I was gonna come at Mike, but I'm not gonna choose violence anymore. I've proven my point that I'm the winner on this show.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Chris in College Park. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, fearless leader?
Sir?
All American.
Sir.
And Mademoiselle Littfoot.
Oh, my goodness. Hello.
I'll never forget those Olympics, my friend.
I won't either.
I come with aggravation in my voice on this year, and I'll get right to it. Very disappointed in how we finished the game on Sunday and the season. So last year we had 7 wins with D. Ritty and Heinicke, and you mean to tell me with the $100 million quarterback and the 8th overall pick, Lefty Penix, we win one more game? We're under 500. We all thought that we would at least have a winning record, 10 wins, what it was, and thought we would get a playoff. So to see that happen is disappointing, and that, to me, goes to coaching. Coach Ra has been underneath the gun. People have had their opinion about him, and I've said it throughout the morning shift calls that you guys have let me be a part of, that certain games and certain things, the coach has to get the players to play and play to their abilities, and I just don't think that happened. And to lose that last game, as good as our offense looked, and knowing what was on the line, that falls on him.
Yeah.
And then I would hope that he takes a long look in the mirror and see what he could do better. I also think Terry Fontenot drafting 4 offensive players as our number one draft pick over the last 4 years has come back to bite us because our defense is lacking. And I know you guys have been talking about that. So for the life of me, and you've heard me say this, can we please take a defensive player with our first overall pick next year? And then lastly, back to coaching. I heard Ra, and I don't want to misquote him, but he was talking about like he's not responsible for what went on before him or the 80s or whatever, whatever that comment was. And again, I don't mean to misquote him. But I looked at Dan Campbell, and when he came into the Lions at the coaching job, he embraced their 40 years of misery, their long years of losing, and got in the basement in the muck with the fans and has raised that team. You got to understand that kind of stuff and put that and fortify that into your coaching. Just my own advice. And now this one's for you, Dylon,
because
I'm going full John Chuckery, and that's what's bugging Chris from College Park. Hashtag Quit Nation. Hashtag Quit Squad.
Appreciate the call, Chris.
I think he's spot on a couple different things, but I think the one thing that he hits the nail on the head is, and we've talked about this, there are 2 losses that will stick out this year to me, right? And it's Raheem. I thought Raheem was brought in because there were certain times last year in Arthur Smith's tenure, specifically in the stretch run, and I'm talking about December, the last game against the Saints, the game against the Panthers where, you know, you throw the pick. There were a number of times, the game against Chicago, where you were playing inferior, extremely inferior opponents and could not get your team to play up. I didn't feel that way about Raheem until the last game, other than one game, and that was against the Saints coming off their losing streak.
Well,
other than that, you lost to 6 playoff teams and the Seahawks, who won 10 games.
In the Saints game, I don't feel that way because the first half, they came out and punched you in the mouth with that new coach energy. And then the second half, you controlled that game. You missed 3 field goals. You missed 3 field goals. And it was that was the difference in the game. I want to say this about Raheem's comments on the history. He's not responsible for the last 50, 60 years of Falcons football. He's just not. You can say, yeah, well, he was here when Dan was here. Yeah, he was here, and he was in an assistant coach role, and he did his job for those positions. You know, he didn't make the calls in the Super Bowl. It's not like Raheem was going to go over there and tell Danny better do this or tell. Like, what do you guys – like, that's ridiculous. But the fact is that that's not a question to me that should have been asked at the time it was. You don't ask that question as you go in to a game where it's a must-win and you get a chance to still make the playoffs. I think it's unfair to throw that on someone. You want to ask it at a press conference to close the season or to begin the season. That's fine. It's a little bit different, too, because Dan Campbell played in Detroit. People forget he was a player in Detroit. In fact, he was a player on the 0-16 Detroit team. So when we bring up the Dan Campbell thing, not to mention Dan Campbell's just a different dude. Like, he also was crucified by many people, even in this radio station, who now praise him for his opening press conference about biting kneecaps. Hell, I made fun of him. I'm not going to lie. I made fun of him. The guy was talking about biting kneecaps.
Fairness, you're not making fun of him. The comment's funny. It's funny as hell.
Well, and that's your opening.
Hilarious. I loved it.
And you're in an organization, Tiff, that has been the ascent, you know, just losing for how many years? I don't want a playoff game since like the early 90s. And your comment is like, yeah, I'm going to bite kneecaps.
There's another part of this conversation that frustrates me to no end. And if y'all remember correctly, Dan Campbell's a number of his decisions this year, clock management, in the game stuff, were questioned. He got questioned for going for an onside kick with 10 minutes left in a game just three or four weeks ago.
He cost him a trip to the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game last year with a fourth down call. He should have kicked a damn field goal and
exactly,
won the game.
Exactly. And the whole Dan Campbell, Raheem Morris conversation, guys, are we forgetting the fact that Dan Campbell's first year in Detroit was terrible?
Yes.
This guy started 0-10.
3-13-1, then they went 9-8 the next year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So don't I this whole thing where like Dan Campbell's this guy that gets his team to play up, this, that, and the other. Yes. But did he get more than one freaking year to do it? Yes.
Well, technically you got
can't
two.
Tell me there were not three. You can't tell me there were not Lions fans that wanted him fired at that point. I would say the vast majority wanted him fired because he's talking about biting kneecaps. They're being made fun of, and he starts. They didn't win any of their preseason games that year either, right? Which doesn't mean anything, but then you start going 0-10-1. So, like, this whole thing about Dan Campbell, we're going to act like that he's just, you know, that you know, we just knew from the beginning that Dan Campbell was the guy. It's just not true. Like, it's revisionist history to go back and talk about Dan Campbell and his tenure at Detroit. Well, get to me in 2 years and talk about
him. We're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down.
And also, look, I'm not saying Raheem's that guy. I'm not. I don't know that. But, man, you got to give it more time to marinate, is my point.
He did get 12 games in Miami to be an interim coach. Now, it's just an interim, and I know Raheem had a full slate. But, yeah, look, the guy went 3-13-1, 9-8, then 12-5, and then 15-2. So they've only made the playoffs the second time in a five-year span, or this is his fourth year. So I agree with what you're saying.
Let's go to Anthony in Covington. What's up, Anthony?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning.
What's up,
Happy
buddy?
New Year to y'all. Happy to be back.
Yeah, same to you.
Hey, OP, hit me with that wham, wham, wham.
Wham, wham, wham. I love it, man.
All right. Well, I love to hear that everybody's obviously out of their feelings about the Falcon stuff already. How about they normally it's like a 24-hour cool-off before we have knee-jerk reactions. So, real quick, they're not going to fire Raheem. Get over it, okay? That's dumb, all right? Well, the Patriots did it. Yeah, Bob Kraft does a lot of shady stuff. Check the news articles, right? So, in regards to this, the biggest thing Raheem has to learn from this whole thing, it started off in the preseason when he's doing his media tour, right, with Ron Clark. He has a vast trust for his people and backing his people. I think the biggest thing Raheem learned is that he needs to make the decision quicker and understand when to step in and be like, you know what, I gave him a fair shot. We got to move on. I think that's the biggest thing we have to learn, especially from Kirk Cousins.
I think it's a phenomenal
trying
point.
Trying to get work his way out.
I think all that's a phenomenal point. You now this offseason, now's when you have to cut your teeth here, Raheem.